Are you weighed down by the burdens of life? Do you find yourself encouraged by the word of God on Sunday, but lose momentum shortly thereafter? Well, welcome to Sunday Soul Service, an hour designed to strengthen, encourage, and motivate you to keep pushing along the journey we call life. This is Dr. Renee Sunday, the platform builder, encouraging you to believe, trust, and walk it out.
Welcome to the Sunday Soul Service. I'm Lakeisha Bates, life coach and founder of At the Wheel Coaching, driving your life to higher ground. Are you having more downs than ups? Do things seem to work out for others, but not you? Has your vision not yet come to pass? If these are things in your life, you are probably feeling disappointed. Disappointment can feel devastating. But what does it really mean? The prefix dis means absent or without. You feel devastation because you believe you are without your appointment. Recently, I went to Canada. The vision was to sing music with my friends who are musicians. I had two connecting flights before I would arrive at my destination. The first flight was late, but I arrived at the airport in time to catch the second flight. After the process of going through customs, I found my gate and sat down. I was so excited as I focused on my vision coming to pass. When I looked at the clock, I noticed it was past boarding time, and they were calling on passengers for a flight to another destination. I looked up at the screen and did not see my flight at all. Nervous and full of panic, I rushed over to the desk and asked the agent, "What about the flight to Ottawa?" She looked at me and said, "The Ottawa flight does not leave for 3 more hours. 3 hours? But my ticket says leave in 10 minutes. She casually said, "Oh, that's another gate, just down the hall. Take the escalator, then take the walkway, and you'll be at the right gate." I gathered my things and began to jog down the long hallway, trying not to knock people down on the way to the gate. As I'm breathing heavy, I realize inside that I will not be able to make the flight. I slow down and begin walking at a normal pace to the gate. When I arrive and ask about the Ottawa flight, the agent says, "Bates, yeah, we held the flight for you, but it had to leave. I'll be happy to book you on the next flight." My response, "I need a minute." I sat down, and with all the emotion flaring inside, I was close to tears. I called my friends to tell them I missed the flight. They assured me that everything was going to be fine and that I simply called them back and let them know what time the next flight would arrive. In the end, it was only an hour delay. I arrived and all was well. We spent no time focusing on the delay. We focused on the vision of the trip only, and I had the time of my life. The scripture that came to mind was Habakkuk 2:3. "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." You see, my disappointment came from the idea that I was without my appointment. I was so busy being upset, I could not even respond to the agent's offer to book me on the next flight immediately. Disappointment comes from the idea or belief that you are without your appointment. But when you believe that the vision is for an appointed time and will surely come, then you spend more time focusing the vision. Here are 3 keys to approaching disappointment. Number 1, respond to the disappointment. I had to take a pause for the calls and respond to my disappointment. Number 2, remember the vision's appointed time will surely come. I was going to get to my destination. I just had to focus on it again. And number 3, rehearse the vision. I went right back into the idea that I had in mind of joining my friends and having a good time. And with those 3 things, responding to the disappointment, remembering the vision's appointed time will surely come, and rehearsing the vision put me in the right frame of mind. To help us dig a little deeper into this conversation, the incredible Dr. Renee Sunday and the joy guru Alicia Brown are here. Let's start with Dr. Sunday. Hello, Dr. Sunday. Please share your thoughts.
Well, thank you so much, Life Coach Leticia Bates. I'm up here saying, okay, I know Atlanta Airport, you got to run forever. So I say, oh, I'll be crying and everything, just like you said. But I love how you said you have to keep your, pretty much like the thing we always say, keep your eyes on the prize. So you know, yeah. We have three things we can do, but we got to make sure we pick the right thing. I was thinking in my younger life, I probably would have responded. And that's what we always thought, the millennials of just responding. But the thing about it is, one, I guess, we did make a response, but we have to be able to, you know, it's consequences to that. And as we get older, it's a process. And our young people don't want to hear from us, but a lot of times they do listen. Because we have to respond in the appropriate way. But I love how you said that you redirected your thinking to the fun that you were going to have with your friends, and that's what we have to do. But it's a process. I'm going to be real with you, Leticia. I'm going to keep it 100 the whole night.
I know you will. Well, Miss Alicia, please share your thoughts.
I just love the fact that at some part of the story, you actually lost your cool. Because she's so calm, cool, and collected all the time. So I'm like, she lost her cool, not the way most of us would have, but for like 2 seconds, she lost her cool. She couldn't even respond. But I love the part where you said,
okay,
you know
wait,
what?
Then, honestly, I'm going to keep it 100 too. It was a little bit more than 2 seconds, but go ahead.
Okay, good. See, I feel even better. But I love the point where you came to a realization where you said, you know, I just slowed down. I realized I wasn't going to make it. And, you know, it's something that I'm going through this week and probably last week. It's just taking out the franticness and the, you know, chaoticness of a situation and just coming back to the surface. Okay, the reality is this is going to be the result. It doesn't matter what you desire. This is what's going to happen. So come back to the present, and how are we going to deal with it going forward? So I like that part where you said you weren't going to make it, you slowed down, and you just continue calmly to the gate.
Because I had all my stuff, and I said, you know, I'm not going to toss myself into cardiac arrest because I already know I missed the flight. There was no way. I had to go down this escalator, and, you know, in the airport they have those long walkways that kind of help your walking speed up. And so I was kind of trying to, like, jog on that and get down. But it was, like, over the river and through the woods kind of thing. It was like, Leticia, it's not going to happen. Like, take it down. And so what my mind immediately started to do was to think about the fact that my friends were, you know, waiting for me, and I had already sent them a text because I thought I was at the right gate, letting them know that everything was a go. So they had already left to come and get me. And then all of that stuff was crashing in my mind. And so by the time I got to the gate, not only did he tell me they held the plane for me, he said we actually left a little bit late. And I thought, okay, this is not helping me. So it didn't help at all. I sat down, and I was starting really to have like a little breakdown. I'm like, oh, my God, you know, everything is going to be moved off because they had set up plans for that night and da-da-da-da. And then I called my friend, and she was trying to talk me down from the ledge. And she said, well, what time does the next flight leave? I said, I don't even know. And she said, well, just, you know, get yourself together, calm down, and call us back. And I was like, okay. So, of course, I did my thing in the airport because nobody was in there. So I tapped.
Okay.
And took that charge off of it. And once I was able to use the tapping, and, of course, tapping is a technique that I use in my practice, so I want to let everybody know I walk my talk. So I had all of this anxiety around missing the flight and all these ideas about how I had disappointed them and I felt disappointed and if only I had looked up earlier. And none of those things were going to make the plane come back to get me.
Yeah.
So I just kind of held those thoughts in mind, and I tapped through the point in order to activate my body's relaxation response, because all of that anxiety and that feeling of disappointment was really my body's stress response. And then there's all this adrenaline flowing because I'm, you know, in this rush to get there. But once I was able to get myself together, I went back to the counter, and the agent said, you know, I'm going to put you on the next flight. He said, how's the front row sound? I said, great. So he put me in first class, and I sat down, and it was all good. And I thought to myself, what if I had taken an hour to collect myself? I would have missed another flight. If I had allowed myself to wallow and languish in that disappointment for all that period of time, I could have caused myself to miss the next thing that was for me. Do you know what I'm saying? So you have to take a pause for the cause when you feel that devastation. You got to deal with that. You have to deal with that emotion that you feel. It's a real thing. But you really want to watch the amount of time you're investing in the disappointment, the belief that you're without the appointment, because over-investing in that time can cause you to miss the next thing and delay you even further.
Oh, now that's a word right there. That is a word right there, because that's so common a lot of times for us to do. And like you're saying, we get so over-absorbed in the stress or the chaos of the situation that we might miss that next opportunity still in the moment with this problem or this issue that's occurred, that really the stress, chaos, we can't fix it. So, wow.
Yeah, and that, you know, when you think about it, it's everything. It's if you don't get the job that you want when you go for the interview. It's if you have that breakup in the relationship and, you know, you believe that you'll never find love again. It's if you lose a job. You know, you definitely have to attend to those emotions. There's no doubt about that. And that devastation comes, and that disappointment shows up. So I'm not saying don't be disappointed. I'm saying respect the fact that you are disappointed. But the quicker you can attend to that feeling and temper that negative feeling, you can get back to focusing on what is for you.
Love it.
I guess the thing about it is, Leticia, when we have, you know, I'm going to term them as negative emotions, I think that's what a lot of, pretty much everybody needs work in that area. But the thing about what I love, and I'm going to piggyback on Alicia when she said that, we did respond, because all of us respond, but we have to learn, and that's when we come to you for the services, we have to learn to catch ourselves before we actually, you know, as the kids say, what, wreck yourself, but you have to do, something has to come there, because unfortunately we see that on the media all the time when people get really emotional and they get disappointed about, you know, like you said, relationships or getting fired from the job. Because nowadays they'll let you work all day and then fire you at the end of the day. And we have to learn, you know, and that's what we need to learn from you is when that happens, which we know is going to happen, how can we catch ourselves before we do something that we actually have consequences, you know, with.
Well, yeah, I mean, to Alicia's point about me having my cool all the time, that's just not true. I mean, I'm human just like everybody else. So, but I'm not trying to stop myself from having human emotions because I'm a human. What I'm interested in is reducing the cycle time, right? So if I feel good, I want that to go on all day long. But if I'm feeling down and distraught and depressed, then I want to know what that's about. I can go into that, feel that feeling, and when I can release the emotional charge on it, then I can put it in full perspective. Now, I can't tell you what would have happened if I made the first plane. It didn't crash. So I don't have to say, you know, oh, I must have been spared for something. That's just not even necessary. What I needed to do is come back to myself and know that the vision that I had held was going to come to pass in this moment in time when I was temporarily without my appointment, could not dictate my trip to me unless I let it. Mm-hmm. And then when we actually got together, we didn't spend any time really talking about it.
Good.
Because then you give more energy to what you don't want. So we just cleaned the slate. We went to eat somewhere close to the airport because it was late. Then we went back, we hung out, and we plotted the course for the rest of the weekend, and it was fantastic. That's because I made a choice to respond to my feelings. So I didn't try to ignore them and pretend like it wasn't there. I didn't try to push it down and push through, which sometimes you have to do. But I took a minute and actually, you know, respected what was going on inside and responded to it. So when people are dealing with their situations, they're real life situations, and they have real feelings about them.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, this was one thing, one event. Sometimes people are dealing with a sea of disappointments that have happened. You know, they may have lost this and something else may have happened, and it may be a series of things happening at one time. And they may not feel like they've got their footing to be able to respond to one thing before the next thing kind of drops down on them. This is the importance of getting in touch with your feelings and staying connected to your feelings. And so when you learn to care about your feelings, how you feel, then you have more of a vested interest in taking care of those feelings and responding to them when they come up.
Yes, I love it. Now, I want to go back to the three steps that you said to approaching disappointment. We discussed about the response to the disappointment, and then your second step was to remember the vision for the appointed time will surely come. But what advice do you give to people that are stuck in the middle? Like, they can respond to the disappointment quite well, but they have a problem stopping that response in transitioning over to remembering the appointed time will surely come.
Right. So here's the thing that I love about tapping. Because tapping releases the emotional charge for what is going on. So all the disappointment that I was feeling and that anxiety and that feeling like I had let my friends down and I had let myself down and they were waiting on me and all of that stuff that I didn't have any control over. All the anxiety that was surfacing as a result of that, by tapping through the point and calming myself down, I was able to get perspective. And from that place, I could remember that the vision was going to surely come. The challenge is when you don't want to deal with the feeling and then you try to skip to step two. So if you're not responding to the disappointment, you're just trying to focus on the vision, you're going to have some challenges.
Oh.
So you have got to clear
can
out
I jump,
what's going
can I
on.
Jump in and ask a question, Letitia, because,
Please.
I'm going to keep it 100.
Okay.
So you're saying, and I'm going to throw it out here, as being a leader, as being a minister, I'm going to just put it out there, ladies and gentlemen, it's okay because we have been taught as leaders, and especially here in the South, that we can't acknowledge that we have emotions, number one. And number two, I need to admit that that hurt me. Talk about that because I think we as a people, and especially leaders, I'm going to just go and say it to be honest, we don't say, ooh, I don't feel good, or that hurt my feelings what so-and-so did.
Right. And so the reason that we don't want to do that is for what the reason you said, it doesn't feel good. So here I am, to think that the whole world had come to a crashing halt because I missed that flight, that's irrational. We all can agree to that, right? But I still felt it. I still felt like I had ruined everybody's day. So I still had to deal with the feelings, even though they weren't comfortable. I still had to acknowledge that the feelings were there. So when something goes on, you're in leadership, and here's what I will say, whether you're in leadership or whether you're in relationship or whatever the deal is, you have to consider your own feelings. You have to be willing to acknowledge that you got hurt. You have to be willing to acknowledge that this pained you. You have to be willing to acknowledge that you were mistreated here. You've got to do that for yourself before you put a demand on somebody else to do it for you. I can't expect you to right the wrong in me until I acknowledge for myself that I've been wrong. So I've got to be more adept in tending to my feelings. I have to care about how I feel. And that means even if it seems irrational, I still have to respect my own feelings enough to care about them and attend to them. Are you tracking with me?
Yes, I'm with you. I love it.
Yeah.
So the role that you're holding, whether you're holding a leadership position at work or church, even if the thing seems like it should not have hurt you, that is not the measure of whether or not it did.
Oh.
The measure of whether it hurt you is whether or not it hurt you. It's very simple. And I can't expect you to care until I care. I have to care about my own feelings. I have to. Since we're keeping it in the theme of the trip, you know, one of the things that they do when you get on that airplane is they show you the oxygen mask. And who is it that they tell you to put the oxygen mask on first? You.
Yes.
So no matter who's in distress around you, they're saying if the plane is troubled, the first person that you have to put that mask on is yourself. We have got to get up the mindset that we have to begin to care about ourselves in order to care for others. You know, the word says we love thy neighbor as we love ourselves. But if you don't love yourself, how in the ham sandwich do you plan to love the neighbor?
Well, now in this case, I also have a question. Because you know that I agree 100, probably 1,000% with what you just said. But then where is that fine line? And some use this as an excuse. I don't want to be selfish. So what part is self-care and loving yourself, and what part have you reached the extreme where you're being selfish?
Your heart will tell you when it hurts. And this is what I'm saying. I can acknowledge in that experience that my mind was presenting some irrational things. Everything is ruined. They're waiting on, you know, I'm telling myself all of these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
The world did not come to an end. Intellectually, I was aware of that, but emotionally, I couldn't get there from where I was. So I took a moment. That's what I said to the guy. He was like, I can get you on the next flight. I said, I need a minute. I sat my happy self down, and I took my minute and dealt with how I felt.
Yeah.
I dealt with my feelings. And even when I called my friend and she was saying, oh, it's okay, you know, we'll be here, I'm still in my feelings. And I got off the phone with her and I said, this is what I need to do. I need to take care of how I feel. Once I take care of how I feel, then I can shift and start and restart the plan. But trying to crawl over that step of responding to it and getting on to the next thing doesn't heal the hurt.
Yes.
And that's really the bigger issue. Because if I don't heal that feeling of being disappointed and I just step over and go to the next step, there's a part of me that's believing that I'm going to be disappointed, which is going to cause more disappointment to come to me. It is very important that we heal those hurts, big or small. And that is why I love the tapping, because it's such an effective tool. And, you know, if the airport was full, I could have gone in the bathroom and done it. But it's a great effective tool to activate your body's relaxation response and get that emotional charge down to a place where you can shift into some perspective. It is just very challenging to do when you've got a lot of emotional stuff going on.
So I think we with the show are familiar with the tapping. But I would love for you, for those that might be new listeners tonight, to just give them an example of what this tapping is that you're talking about.
Oh, sure. So tapping is, it has its roots in ancient medicine. And basically you are tapping on acupressure points that activate your body's relaxation response. And the points are pretty simple. You can go to atthewillcoaching.com and look at the Faster EFT tab, and it will show you a video on how to use the tapping as well as give you a sheet on where the tapping points are. But that space right between your eyebrows, that's the first tapping point. So you just take two fingers and just tap like three or four times. And then there's that space right at the edge of your eye, on the side of your eye. You go to tap on that space. And then that hollow space right underneath your eye, you tap on that space. And then right at your collarbone, just where your necklace would fall, you tap there. And then the last one is grab your wrist. And it's very simple. You're feeling that disappointment, that anxiety. You've got all those thoughts in your head. And while all that energy is kind of flowing, you just feel whatever it is, and you tap between your eyes and say, I let this go. I release and let this go. And then you go to the side of the eye, I release and let this go. It's safe to let this go. And then you tap under your eye, it's okay to let it go. I let it go. You tap your collarbone, I'm just going to let this go. It's okay to let it go. Then you grab your wrist, you take a deep breath in, you blow it out, and you say peace. You speak peace. And that first round, you'll start to feel your body calming down. And if it's not all the way to full relaxation, you just go through the rounds again and just say the same thing. I let this go. And for me, it was the trip. This feeling like I've blown the trip, I let it go. Everything's going to be okay. I let it go under my eye. I just release and let this tension and this anxiety go. I'm tapping my collarbone. It's okay to let it go. Everything's going to be just fine. I let it go. Then I grab my wrist. I take the deep breath in, blow it out, speak peace. And I keep doing that until my body is at full relaxation. That is how I respond when I'm in heavy emotional overcharge. And, again, this is a pretty simple situation, right, because, like, the world wasn't coming to an end. It was really just a missed flight. But this tool is so powerful and so effective, it can be used to deal with everything from serious traumatic experiences to something as simple as missing a flight. And any type of disappointment, you know, we talk about if somebody loses their job or somebody doesn't get a promotion or if somebody's in, you know, a relationship, what's really happening in that disappointment, we are still believing in that time, in that moment, that we are without our appointment. That is what's causing the feeling, this belief that I am without my appointment. That is disappointment. And it's that space that causes that emotional anxiety. But when you can use the tapping and release that emotional charge, you can breathe and say, okay, you know what? It's impossible for me to be without my appointment because the word tells me that my vision is for an appointed time and it will surely come.
Oh.
So whatever this is, I got another claim. I just got to get myself back up to the counter and go ask the person, when is my next flight?
Well.
But again, what I really thought about is if I had fallen into complete disarray there and spent an hour crying about it, I would have missed the next plane. That's the important thing. Step two, remembering the vision, and step three, rehearsing the vision, those are fine. But I really want to spend the time letting people know you really, really, really want to take the time to respond to your feelings, to respond to your disappointment, to respond to your broken heart. Even if somebody is telling you it shouldn't matter.
Uh-huh.
If you step on my foot and say you're sorry, but it's still hurting me an hour later, and I say something about it, and you say, well, I said I'm sorry, that hasn't stopped my foot from hurting.
All right.
But what can you do at that point? You can't do anything for my foot at that point. It's up to me now to do what I need to do to heal my foot. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So when someone does something to aggrieve you, to hurt you, to disappoint you, even when they give you an apology, even if they give you an apology, that still doesn't immediately cure the feeling.
Amen.
And that's not their job. That's your job.
Amen.
Now, I want to point out some things. Hopefully everybody caught that, because and we say this in church all the time, and Leticia, you bring it out so wonderfully. The thing is, we meaning point at yourself. You know, my mom would always say, when you point at somebody else, all the rest of your fingers and thumb is pointing back to you. We need to take responsibility of the way we feel. And so I'm glad you pointed that out. But you made a great analogy when we finished talking about the airplane experience or at the airport. We need to actually put this to the things that we really was waiting on. You know, like you said, somebody wanted a promotion. Someone was, I mean, let's be real. You wanted someone to propose, and that didn't happen.
Yes.
Or, something that you thought was going to push you forward in your purpose and destiny. So I like that you said that, because you know how we do as people. We said, life coach Leticia Bates was talking about her experience at the airport, but I'm talking about me wanting to get a raise so I could provide more for my family. I'm talking about actually getting a promotion so I can actually not work my 9-to-5. I can work, really become a business owner. So I'm glad that you pointed that out, that the tapping works no matter how we deem that it's the perspective of the thing severe or minor in our eyesight.
Yes, because it's the feeling. The reason that you feel that devastation is because you feel the absence of your appointment. Whatever the appointment is, it's that feeling that you are without it. But when you know that it can't not come, that it has to come, that it's been decreed to come, when you tap into that, you can't languish in the disappointment. Because you know that you are not without your appointment. But it's that absent feeling, that disappointment, that moment in time where you are feeling separated from your appointment. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Because you think it's going to go this way. You think, I'm going to get this promotion, I'm going to be able to do this, I'm going to be able to do this, I'm going to be able to do this. You think that's how you're going to get to your appointment. Great. So you called all the T's, you dot all the I's, you go in, they say, no, we're not going to give you the appointment. So now, in your mind, you can't get to your appointment because the way you had it laid out is not going to happen. That does not mean that the appointment is not etched in stone. That does not mean that the vision has changed. That just means that the way you had it laid out in your mind to happen has to shift.
Come on, man.
That's why it's important to know already in the beginning, if I have this vision of a better life for my family, it must come to pass. It cannot not come. So I thought it was going to come this way. Okay, it didn't come that way. But the vision itself will surely come. But you can't feel that right now because you're feeling like you're without the appointment. So what I'm saying is, go to the feeling that tells you that you are without the appointment and deal with that emotion. And once you have dealt with that emotion and leveled that off, you get back into the clarity. You've responded. Now you can remember that vision is for an appointed time and it will surely come. And you can tell yourself that. You can affirm that in your life and over yourself every single day. And as you do that, then you go to step 3 and you start rehearsing the vision. you start seeing your family going on vacation, even though you didn't get the promotion. You dare to envision it anyway. Because that promotion is not the only way to get you promoted.
Yeah.
If you remember back
right.
at the beginning of my story, okay, if you remember all the way back at the beginning of the story, the gate that I was at, she told me that there was a plane that was going to be leaving in 3 hours. So even if I had gotten to that gate and missed the flight, which I did, sat there and cried for 2 hours and missed the next flight, I still had another chance to get to where I was going. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There was never a scenario where I wasn't going to get to my vision.
I'm done. I'm done.
But,
wow.
You know, I mean,
in
it
that
is
scenario.
Because you saying, and you know, of course, let's keep this and, you know, doing stuff legal, but the things that
yeah.
we think that we make a mistake with, you know, honest mistake, and
yes.
things that people do, because some people's motive's not right. Let's just be real. They do things against us, and it, you know, we think it's setting us back, but I just love it, Leticia, what you said. She said,
yeah.
you just got to get your appointed time. That doesn't mean it's not going to happen. And actually, I'm a living witness, and I know many of the listening audience and Leticia and Alicia as well. It actually always comes better than what we had thought about it anyway.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And this is what I'm saying. It's only in languishing in the belief that you are without it. That's what causes the hurt. Is the absence of it. But when you can deal with that emotional charge and you can reconnect to it, then you stand in the presence of it even before it fully manifests. Because now you're rehearsing the presence of the vision. So what happened to me just tonight, I'm supposed to be on the call, 10 minutes before I'm supposed to be on the call, my power goes out. Because it's raining in torrential downpours, and so there's water beating on the windows. So I'm like, well, which room am I going to be in? Then I don't have any light. I can't see. So I have to come downstairs and open up the curtain in order to let the light come in so I could see. I didn't have time to get caught up in the thing. I still had to take a minute. I just sat here. I took a little tap it, took me a deep breath, and made the call.
Okay.
So my vision of how this was going to go did not include me sitting in the actual seat I'm sitting in. I thought I was going to be in another room. Do you understand what I'm saying? But it's still happening. Because the actual vision itself was for this to come forth, not in the way I wanted it to necessarily, not in the way I planned for it, but it still is coming to pass. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And that is when you buy into the belief that the vision will surely, surely come. Then even if it does not come in the way or the time or the shape that you think it should, that's not the point. The point is that it will surely come to pass.
Wow. But let's talk about this, Leticia. When we actually come and have services with you, the tapping, when we first start doing the tapping, do we get the same results if someone has been doing it, you know, for several times? Because some people always want to, you know, we are people, we want results kind of quick. Right. How about that? Because, I mean, is it a process that, you know, the first time we may not get, you know, the results we want or what we need, I guess, in that situation?
Yeah, and so that's a great question. So I offer different programs. I have a jumpstart session, which is a single session. And then I have three sessions. I offer six sessions, and I offer 12 sessions. And it really depends on what's going on and what you're trying to move through. So let's say, for example, someone has, maybe they had a traumatic experience. Maybe they were bit by a dog, right? And it was really traumatic for them. If that something is still bothering them, like a nightmare, or they were robbed, or some single incident experience has happened, we can address that single incident in one session. But if you've got more of a theme going on, more of a pattern, let's say you've had a lot of disappointments going on and you're just trying to, like, reconfigure your life, then you're going to want to look at doing a 3, 6, or 12 session. When we get into 6 and 12 sessions, we start to actually, once we're clearing the emotional charge, we start doing the goal setting and setting you up for the success that you want. So it really depends on what it is that you're looking to do. In my experience, the people who are really saying, you know what, I'm ready to make some major changes in my life, and I've got all this stuff. I got stuff from childhood. I got stuff from, you know, teenage years. I got stuff from my 20s. I got stuff that has happened to me that's really, like, holding me back. Then those are the people who are, I would recommend a 6 to 12 session program. For somebody who has a single specific event or just a couple of things that were big, then you're looking at a single session or a three program session. So it really depends on where you are and what you're trying to accomplish. And what happens in the session is the first thing that I want to focus on in the session is what you want. When people are in emotional distress, they have a lot of focus on what they don't want. I don't want to feel this way anymore. I don't want to be tired anymore. I don't want to be mad anymore. I don't want to be sad anymore. So it takes a minute for me to say, okay, I know what you don't want, but the absence of a thing is not the presence of a thing, so let's talk about what you do want. And then we figure out, all right, this is the goal for the session. Then we talk about the obstacles that are stopping them from moving to that next level or getting past that nightmare or getting past that event. And then we use the tapping to deal with the emotions that have come up and surfaced as a result of that. And once those things are cleared, then we can easily, you know, affirm what it is that they do want. And like I said, in the 6 to 12 program, then we actually start building goals. Like, this is what we want to accomplish. We set those goals. We lay them out. We talk about what it needs to happen to get there and set a plan in place to make it happen. And the sessions, I do the sessions obviously in person for people who are in my town, but I also offer Skype sessions and phone sessions if people don't have access to Skype.
You know, I'm still meditating on that one of the things you just said about that, we know what you don't want, but you focus on what you do want. And, you know, I remember the first time somebody said that, it was like, you know, I can rattle off a list of, no, I don't want, you know, let's say we're going out to dinner. Where would you like to go? Oh, I don't want to go here. Well, where do you want to go? I don't know. Well, what about, well, I don't want to go there. So I give you a list, boop, 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 boop. But then if somebody just says, what do you want? It's like sometimes it really paralyzes me because you force me to just what, you know, it's almost like you're beginning with the end in mind. You force me to focus on what do you want? And I found shifting that paradigm, when you focus on what you want, it gives you more of a precise, targeted, mission-focused thought process versus all the stuff I don't want, because I can go on forever with what I don't want. But sometimes, you know, in certain areas, it's like you say, well, you want silence. I don't know. And that's where the real work needs to begin anyway. What do you want? So I like that.
Well, yeah, and so the thing about that, so remember that disappointment is the absence of the appointment, right? So it's don't want.
Yes.
And so what will happen is if this doesn't work out and you feel some disappointment, and this doesn't work out and you feel some frustration, and this doesn't work out and you feel some hurt, you are practicing the hurt, the frustration, and the disappointment. That's what's active in your emotions. And
yes.
So you get so practiced in that stuff, all you know is you don't want that stuff anymore. You're not
mm-hmm.
really giving any time and attention to what you want.
Yes, Lord.
So it really does, and this is why I'm saying it really, really is so important that we clean up our emotions, that we deal with our emotions, whether they appear to be a small thing or a big thing. When they're left unattended and it's not the most positive thing, it's still active inside of us.
Uh-huh.
And then it starts carrying over into other aspects of our lives. So it's important that when things happen to us, and, you know, there are people, I have clients who are dealing with things, you know, they're in their 40s or 50s or 60s, and they're dealing with events that happened in their early childhood, their adolescent, and their 20s. Because feelings buried alive, they don't die. They just keep producing. And so if you have these particular feelings in you and those feelings have never really been attended to, then they stay active and they become things in different areas of your life.
Wow.
You know, I think about myself, and I've really dealt with self-esteem issues. I've dealt with self-esteem issues from the time that I was in elementary school. And they stemmed from, you know, my father really not being there for me and making me feel rejected. So that feeling of rejection kind of permeated me and made me feel real worthless. So that meant that I wasn't performing academically. So then I almost didn't graduate from high school. Like, seriously. I graduated from high school with like a 1.9. It was not a good look. And so then the esteem carried over, and I didn't go to college. And this is all coming from this issue of feeling rejected and abandoned. But it was showing up in all these areas of my life because it wasn't dealt with. And it really wasn't until I got into my late 30s where I really got serious about my emotional health. And I started going back and dealing with some of these things and, you know, really healing those hurts in my heart that I was able to gain a different perspective about not just my life, but my father. Because the reality is that my father had been hurt his life. And so, you know, the adage that hurting people hurt people.
Uh-huh.
All mm-hmm. he did was he just gave me what he had. And since his father left him and then his mother got married and then that father left and never came back, he was without a father. So that's what he knew to do, is go away. So that's not good. That's not bad. There's no judgment or condemnation on it. He just gave me what he had. But once
right.
I was able mm-hmm. to deal with my own feelings, I could gain some perspective and understand that what I was reaching for in him, he did not have to give me.
Oh.
Could he have done better? Sure, whatever. He did what he knew how to do. And so when we don't fix, when we don't deal with our feelings, when we don't fix the feelings that are inside of us, we're hurting other people too. It's not just us that are, we're not just aching on the inside. We're having an impact on all of those people that are around us. So taking responsibility for your emotional well-being is critical in order for you to really be who you want to be and be who you want to be for other people. Because what good is it to achieve success and not be fulfilled emotionally? You can have
yeah.
a bunch of nice things, but you feel bad. Or you can have a bunch of nice things, but you're angry all the time. So you
uh-huh.
got a nice car, you're living in a nice house, you've got some nice clothes on, but you're always mad.
Uh-huh.
So it really is it's a balance there.
Go ahead now.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because I had to come. One day it just came to me as a epiphany, if you want to call it that. But my inner peace, and I said, because I grew up in poverty, and a lot of people can attest to that. And I said, you know what? my parents did the best they could, or what, just what you said, exactly. What they had inside of them. And that's why I try to celebrate them as, you know, as much as possible in their older life, because they did the best they could. You know what I mean? That is just a powerful statement. And I wish our young people could glean that pretty early, that they did the best, because they wanted more for, you know, us, meaning, you know, the kids. The parents want you to have more than what they had, and sometimes with that come to, you know, they not at home as much, or you were raised by grandparents, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of things can, you know, occur in those situations. But like you said so wonderfully, they did what they had inside of them. That is a powerful right there.
Well, the thing about it, so my father, and I did have a chance before he passed away, I got a chance to talk some things. To talk to him about some things. I can't tell you we talked through the things because he wasn't in the place. He still wasn't in the place to give me what I needed emotionally. But in his mind, his self-image was so low. He actually thought my life was better off without him. That's where he was with it. Because he knew my mother was there, and he knew that my grandmother was there, and we had, you know, aunts and uncles and people to love and take care of us. He thought my life was better without him. And that is because he never attended to that thing inside of him that made him feel bad. So when you talk about where is the line, the question earlier was where is the line of selfishness when you're being selfish? When you're not taking care of yourself, you are affecting everybody who comes in contact with you.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
And I couldn't gain perspective on my father doing the best he could because I was too busy aching over the absence of him. You understand what I'm saying? So I had to tend to my emotional self first in order to even gain perspective to be able to hear him and really understand that he really didn't have it. He didn't have it. It's not about right or wrong or him rising up and, you know, being a man or whatever. That's all. These are nice platitudes. He did not have it.
And I think that is just so powerful in what you're saying. Because as a childhood abuse survivor, that is such, and I think Dr. Renee Sunday was saying it with her particular situation, that is such a powerful moment in your life when you realize it's not about the blame game. They simply did not have it to give.
They didn't.
And, you know, if we look at other areas of our life, it's the same way. Sometimes we have expectations on people, unrealistic or realistic. But the bottom line is they simply don't have it to give us what we want. And how can I make peace going forward or, you know, make peace with that reality?
And, you know, and that's the beautiful thing about the time and the day that we live in now, because we have resources. That is why I'm so drawn to this work. It's why I'm so passionate about it, because I actually have tools that I can help people deal with their emotional selves and be better parents, better wives, better husbands, better friends, better coworkers, better employees, better employers. Because I can help them move through that painful stuff that's inside of them that never really got addressed so that they can heal those hurts and shift into who they're meant to be. And I'm telling you, we're not meant to come here and suffer for the balance of our days and go home and die. That's not the goal. But things do happen. Serious things happen. Sexual abuse happens. Domestic violence happens. Emotional abuse happen. These things happen, and they happen to us. Some of it is early, some of it's in our midlife, some of it's in our latter life. And we have to care enough about how we feel to attend to those emotional issues so that we can be better for ourselves and better for the people that we love.
I love it that you know, because, you know, in the South, again, we say whatever happened in the house, stayed in the house, that kind of thing. But I love it that, that Leticia's in the practice that you help your clients, that we can actually enjoy life when we get all of this stuff, and, you know, that stuff can be whatever, we get that out the way, and it doesn't, you know, pretty much be an elephant on our chest. So we say, I just so elated that we do have the tools that you offer, that we actually can not be that person on in the car honking all the time, always angry, you know, because some people always look angry. So that's amazing. I love it.
And so whether my father would have taken advantage of a resource like this or not, I don't know. But it didn't exist for him. You know, in the time and the day that he was coming up, this wasn't even something that was there. And today we are so fortunate because there are so many resources available to us. You know, sometimes, though, especially, you know, in the church, we don't really want to step outside of our comfort zone and really go for that help. But shifting our mindset and giving ourselves permission to say, you know, the Lord has come, and I must have life and have it more abundantly. I'm not living abundantly.
Uh-huh.
And when you know that, emotionally you're not living abundantly, even if you're living abundantly financially. If you're not living in emotional abundance, something's going on. And we know it's from the past because the future has not happened yet. And so in this experience, we cannot change the past, but we can change how you hold and represent it inside of you.
Love it.
And that's what changes the game.
Love it. So, Leticia, where can our listeners go to follow you and stay in contact you and contact with you and take advantage of your tapping program?
You can go to At The Wheel Coaching. That's ATTHE, and it's wheel, like you're driving the car, because I like the idea of putting you at the wheel of your own life. So it's atthewheelcoaching.com. And on the website, it talks about life coaching, what it is. There's a list of the programs. I have payment plans that are available for the programs. And there's a video there that talks about tapping and my own personal experience and shows you how to do it. And there are also some testimonies there of people who've gone through the program or, you know, one of my programs and sessions with me and the results that they felt personally, that they've agreed to let me use their stories in order to help people. But I highly recommend that you get in contact with me. I offer a free 15-minute consultation. So in that consultation, we'll find out what you want. So you have to give some thought about that. And then we will figure out if it's a fit to move forward. And I offer a 10% discount on all my programs for any Sunday Soul Service listeners. So that is definitely available to you. But I do want to recap tonight. So whether you're dealing with any situation at all, but especially disappointment, the first thing you want to do is respond to it. The next thing you want to do is to remember that that vision is for an appointed time and will surely come. And then you want to rehearse the vision. So join me on the third Tuesday of every month on Sunday Soul Service. I'm Leticia Bates, life coach and founder of At The Wheel Coaching. If the pain of your past has been keeping you down, start driving your life to higher ground.
Thank you for tuning in to another edition of the Sunday Soul Service, brought to you by me, Dr. Renee Sunday, the platform builder. Tune in every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an uplifting power-packed hour designed to help you believe, trust, and walk it out. And always remember, I love you, but God loves you best.